scripture comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3. What a study. Try it. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
I'd like to share with you this morning a message on the subject of a very important doctrine. We're beginning a study of doctrine. If you got the newsletter this week, how many got the newsletter? Anyway, I think there's some newsletters back there if you want to grab one on your way out. But I'd like to begin a study of doctrines of the Bible. We could call them Baptist doctrines, but really they're Bible doctrines straight from the Bible. And when you think of the Bible, of course, where do you start? Well, you start with the Bible. Because if this is a book that we can trust, then it makes all the difference. So it is a book that we can trust, and I want to try to help us to trust it more and maybe give some reasons why we should trust it. This is an epistle of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17 that Brother Curtis read is just a small portion of this letter that Paul wrote to Timothy that we call 2 Timothy because there were two Timothys, 1st and 2nd Timothy, right? Oh, no? Well, thank you. Thank you for noticing that. I'm glad that someone was awake. But no, there weren't two Timothys. There were two letters to Timothy. And this is the second letter to that same Timothy. So I just want us to listen to what Paul says here. Not that Paul ever said anything that wasn't scripture. I think we have this kind of misconception that Paul, everything that he spoke was straight from the mouth of God. Well, I don't think so. I think there were probably things that Paul said off the record and maybe said that he wished he hadn't said. But certainly what we have written here, we can trust as the Word of God. And so I want us to just listen in, and you say, well, that's assuming a lot, because these are just the words of a man. Well, I think if you will kind of read through the Bible and underline those portions where the Bible speaks about itself and where there are those, for example, Peter, who said of Paul that what he wrote was Scripture, and that the Scripture was still being written. This was, of course, after the greatest event in history, the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of the Bible, the Old Testament portions, were not complete, obviously, because Christ had not yet come. So I'm not going to try to prove everything about the Bible. You're probably still going to have some questions, but I just want us to focus on these two verses of 2 Timothy and see what we can learn about the inspiration and the profitability of the Scriptures. Profitable for doctrine is what I've given as a title to this study this morning. Well, Paul warned Timothy in his first epistle to be aware, or to beware, really, of the doctrine of demons. Now, I think that we have those today. Now, we may not call them doctrine of demons, but if it's not from the Word of God, if it's not from the mouth of God and the inspiration of God, which really means the breathing out of God's Word, then you know, where else could it come from? Well, it could only come from the mind of man or from the demonic world. Paul wanted to warn against those, and the Scriptures themselves warn against other doctrines, other systems of belief that are not based on the Word of God. For example, Isaiah 8:20 says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." And so that's why we, not only Baptists, but many others, believe in the Bible only as our authority, as our guide. So I want us to look this morning at teaching. Not all teaching, of course, is teaching of truth. But here we are taught what is true. This is where the Word of God comes in. For we want to know what is true. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Now that's a challenge that I believe Christ issued to all who would want to know what the truth is. "Study my word," Jesus said, "and the truth will make you free." Well, I want us to note regarding the Scriptures, and I'm sorry I didn't put this up there, but mainly what I've already said. Regarding the Scriptures or the Bible, first of all, we can learn about its inspiration here. Its inspiration. Now, in the 16th verse of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, "All Scripture is inspired by God." Inspired by God. Now, you may wonder what that word "inspired" means, really. You may have gotten an inspiration for a painting or something, or you've looked at, maybe read a poem or something, thought, "My, that's an inspired poem." Well, we use that term rather loosely. It's not really an exact translation of the word here. The word that's translated by inspiration of God really means God breathed. That it's a compound word. I think it's a word that I think maybe Paul made up, a coined word that means, because there wasn't any other word that would really describe what, you know, how the Bible came to be. It came as the exhalation, if you will, of the will of God. The Word of God is, and the will of God, the same thing, really. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about inspiration. Now, what do we know about the inspiration according to these Scriptures? Well, first of all, it is unified. It is a unified Bible that we have. It says here, all Scripture. Now, you may have a translation, and I don't really agree with this translation of the Scriptures, of this verse, rather. But you may have a translation that reads, all Scripture, comma, inspired of God, is also profitable, or something like that. Now, you can see how that changes the meaning. Now, I don't necessarily take issue with the fact that the verse could be translated that way, but I believe that how most translations translate this is actually correct. All Scripture is inspired by God. I mean, what possible meaning could the other have except to suggest that there are Scriptures that are not inspired? And, of course, there are people who believe that. So I think that if you have a translation that reads that way, you know, you can always write in your Bible and just maybe correct it. You know, not every no translation is perfect. So, but I just believe that what the Bible is saying here is all Scripture is inspired by God. That's an excellent translation in my opinion. God breathed is really the word. I think it's hyphenated, God hyphen breathed, indicating that it's not really a word, but it really translates very accurately what the Greek word is here. And it's unified. All Scripture, it says here. And that is very important for us, I think, to realize as we approach the Bible. Again, if you're not sure of that, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I can't really go into a refutation of the other view this morning because of the time constraints that we have, but just encourage you to continue in the Word, studying the Word, and you'll begin to realize that this indeed is a unified book, that it speaks of one God, and that one God has one plan of redemption, and that is through the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It is unified. It is unique. Here it says inspired of or by God. And it means to be breathed out. That word does. To breathe out. God breathed it, in other words. Kind of like in the book of Genesis where it speaks of the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the waters. And, you know, that Spirit is the same Spirit who breathed out that word. And so it is unique and inspired of God. It is useful. The Bible says here, the Scripture here says that it is profitable. And that is a Greek word, translates a Greek word that means to heap up profits. So if you want to profit, then study the Bible. And I can't guarantee that your stocks on Wall Street or wherever you might have them, your business ventures are all going to be successful. But in God's economy, what is successful in God's economy is not necessarily what is successful in this world's economy. We all know that to be true. And the Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes rich. If you want to be rich in the world's understanding of riches, then you will not necessarily have the blessing of God. But if you have the blessing of God, He'll make you rich in ways that you never imagined. And so it's useful. But also, I want us to notice here, not only that we have information about its inspiration, but also about its education, that is, the Scriptures. The Scriptures educate. Everywhere this book is gone, people have been taught to read. Most of the schools throughout the world have been founded by Christians. I could almost say that without the Christian influence, there would be no real education in this world because, you know, the devil wants us ignorant. And so, education, what do we know about the Bible here? What can we learn from these verses here? Paul, incidentally, told Timothy to study to show himself approved unto God. And here, it's really like what Jesus said. If you want to be my disciples... Now, a disciple was a follower, a learner. And he said, if you want to be like me, and you want to follow me, then study the Scriptures, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, Paul said that in kind of a little different way here, but he said to Timothy, study to show yourself approved to God. The Bible is instructive. I'm going to add one more to the three that you have, the three spaces there, so you might be alert to that. There'll be four here. Four ways in which the Bible has educational value, if you will. Well, it's instructive. Didactic is the word we get from the Greek word here, which just means that the Bible teaches. It is instructive. It's not just a book of platitudes or nice stories and some, you know, according to some that aren't so nice, but we need them anyway. It's not just even a religious book. There are people who say, as far as scientific value, you might as well throw the Bible away. It has no scientific value. It's unscientific. You kind of have to just take it in a religious way. Well, that sounds good, but it's hogwash. I think the Bible is the most scientific book ever written. I think the problem is that we don't agree with what the Bible says. And when the Bible says God created the heavens and earth, we want to say, that's too hard. That's too big a step of faith. And so we believe that we all evolved from little amoeba-like creatures, and over the process of billions of years, which there's absolutely no historical evidence for, that the earth has existed for billions of years. If you were just an ignorant person and you went and dug out here and found seashells, well, you'd think, well, this world must have been underwater at one time, kind of like, what the Bible says about the flood. So, I don't want to really go into all of the things that I believe about evolution and how evolution really is a system of belief that is totally 180 degrees opposed to the Scriptures. But I think that we need to take the blinders off, that we need to approach the Bible with an open mind the same way we would any other book. And of course, it is no other book, but just assuming that we just believe it's a good book of literature to study. But if we will come to it with an open mind, I think that we'll find that here indeed is truth, that is instructive. It's persuasive. Here it says that it is given for reproof. It is like a lawyer arguing a case. Point by point, it just adds up. I mentioned that book that I believe his name was Frank Morrison, wrote called Who Moved the Stone? And Frank was an English journalist who set out to disprove the Bible. He was a skeptic. He was raised, I'm sure, as a lot of us were raised, to believe in evolution and that, there is a place for religion, but it's, in the church. And the two, religion and true intellectual pursuits, can't really coexist. And so he set out to disprove the resurrection. And point by point, he was just so overwhelmed by the evidence that he became a believer in Jesus Christ. Because the evidence is there. I think the problem is we come with a closed mind. And we don't, look at the Scriptures in the same way that we do other writings even. But it's persuasive. It's corrective. That word corrective is a compound Greek word that includes the well-known Greek word ortho. I'm sure we've all familiar with the term orthopedic, which means to straighten, I think, a limb. I think the foot or the leg. Anyway, it refers to straightening. Orthodontics has to do with straightening teeth. So we're familiar with that, the idea of correction. Well, we need correction because our lives are often crooked. And like that little tree that we plant that maybe gets bent in the wind, it needs to be straightened. Our lives need to be straightened. And that's what the Word of God can do. And then this additional one that you'll have to add there, formative. The reason why I did this is there were four words there, so I thought, well, you can't squeeze four words into 3 points. So I added this one, formative. And that's from the Greek word for child, meaning training or bringing up of a child. I'm sure, Joanne, you've heard the term pedagogy, which means to teach or train a child. And that's the idea there, formative. We need it not only as children, but we need it as adults, because when you come to Christ, you come as a babe in Christ. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And he was probably middle-aged or more, a very respected religious leader. And yet Jesus said, "You must be born again." And that implies becoming a child. Well, we need that pedagogy, if you will, that formative influence that the Word of God can have upon our lives. Inspiration, education, but also I want us to look at the application of the Word of God. Here it says in verse 17, "So that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Now you may think, well, I'm not a man, or you're a woman, so it doesn't apply to you. I think the principle still applies. Now remember, Paul was writing here to Timothy, this young preacher. And when he said the man of God, he was thinking, no doubt, of Timothy and thinking of his work. But truly, the principle is universal, that we need it. We need to apply it to our lives. It has spiritual application. Remember that Paul was writing to a young man who had answered the call of God in his life, and who realized that God had a higher purpose for his life than he had thought before he came to Christ. And so he gave his life to Christ as a man of God. Spiritual, effectual. Complete translates a Greek word meaning fitted, complete, perfect, having reference to the a special aptitude for a given use. Well, what it's saying there is that it's complete. It's everything that we need. So we don't need another book. We don't need another scriptures. We don't need a 29th chapter of Acts. We have a complete scripture here. It's spiritual. It's effectual. It's practical. Equipped, Paul said here, for every good work. I think we give in too easily to this, kind of the temper of our times. Well, the Bible is good for, when you're in trouble, when you have trials and tribulations, certainly at a funeral, for example. It's good to read the scriptures. It's good to read the scriptures when you're going through a hard time in your life and you're needing direction. Well, certainly God gave the scriptures for that reason. But he said also, and Jesus did in fact, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We are to live by the word of God. It is practical. In this age of relativism and competing ideologies, we need an anchor. And the Bible is that anchor.